John 1. You'll find that on page 1301 in the Pew Bibles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. The Apostle John begins our preaching section this evening in verse 5 with a categorical statement that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And when John speaks about God as light, he is referring to both truth and moral purity. And light is a theme, or light and darkness are themes that are sprinkled throughout to the Old and New Testament scriptures. And no one plays with those themes more than the Apostle John himself. You might remember how he describes Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus, who at that point in John 3 was still ignorant of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us not only that Nicodemus came, but that he came at night. The darkness, of course, a reflection of his own spiritual ignorance. And then remember how our Lord Jesus tells us of the dastardly deed of Judas. That the disciples are all together in the upper room and have just celebrated the Lord's Supper. And then Jesus tells Judas to go out and do what he was planning to do. That is, to betray the Lord Jesus, the greatest evil this world has ever known. And as Judas exits the room, the Apostle John tells us, and it was night. That is, darkness in John's Gospel, and I think also in John's letter, darkness is a reference to spiritual ignorance as reflected in Nicodemus, and spiritual evil as reflected in Judas. And in the midst of the darkness, the Word who was with God and the Word who was God from the beginning, in the midst of darkness, Jesus comes. You remember how the Apostle John says it in his Gospel in 1 John 1, or in John 1 rather. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And how he says in John 8 verse 12, these words of Jesus, I am the light of the world. So light in John's thinking refers to truth over against error, and goodness over against evil. And as such, it is a brilliant description of who God is. In fact, God is not just like light, but God is actually light. That's the way the Apostle says it there in verse 5. God is light. And he reinforces the purity, the brilliance of God by saying, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So children, if you can think of a castle with all of its nooks and crannies, its dungeons, its corridors, and these massive rooms, and you had the privilege to explore one of these castles, you could take your flashlight with you, and you would be able to make some sections of the castle bright. But there would always be shadows, there would always be areas of darkness, because there would be no way that you could dispel all the darkness out of a castle of that size with all of the shapes and all of the different nooks and crannies. But if you were to explore God, you would find that there is no darkness in Him whatsoever. Everywhere you would go in God, you would see brightness, purity, truth. There'd be no lies, there'd be no shadows, there'd be no dimness at all. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, no, not at all. And so what does that mean about God? It means that God's every word is truth. Every utterance that comes out of His mouth is true. God cannot lie, as one of the New Testament writers says. I think it's the writer to the Hebrews. God is absolutely without falsehood. Just listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. There is absolute truth in what God says. There is no hint of falsehood, no equivocation, no lies, no suggestions of untruth in any way. God is light. He speaks the truth. And God is pure morally. There is no sin in Him. He's not tempted by sin in any way. There's no suggestion of anything improper in the Lord. There is no thought that gravitates like it does so often in us towards the dark side. No, God does everything right. There is no falsehood in Him, and there is no evil in Him whatsoever. God is light. And the Apostle Paul, or Apostle John here, says that this is what he has heard from Jesus, and what he now proclaims to his readers. Now, scholars note that if you go through the words of the Lord Jesus that is recorded for us in the Gospel, you'll never come across a statement where Jesus says that God is light. So what does John mean when he says that this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you? I think he means this. He knows, as he says in the Gospel, he knows that Jesus has come to make God known. He knows that what Jesus said to Philip in John 14, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. And as he studied the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, remember, John was in close association with our Lord. In fact, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he had a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And as he examined the Lord Jesus throughout His life and ministry, he recognized that He only spoke the truth, that there were no lies found in Him whatsoever, and that His every intention was to do the will of His Father. And He swerved neither to the right nor to the left. He always did His Father's will, making it His aim to please His God. And so the apostle has seen in Jesus who has come to make God known, that Jesus Himself is light. And so Jesus, as the image of the invisible God, demonstrates by His own life the truth and the moral purity that is God Himself. God is light. And of course, the mere fact that God has sent His Son into the darkness as the light of the world is a reflection of who God is. If He didn't care about truth, then He would let the lies of Satan run rampant throughout history. But He does care, and so sent His Son to speak the truth in the place of lies. And if God didn't care about obedience and moral purity, He would have let Satan run wreak havoc throughout the nations. But He does care about that. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to deal with sin, to purify people from unrighteousness, and to conform them by the power of the Spirit to His image. And so what John is saying is that I have seen Jesus. I have heard Him. I have seen Him. I've looked upon Him. My hands have touched Him. And this is the message that He has given me about His God. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And that categorical statement in verse 5 then becomes the backdrop for what the apostle says in verse 6. So keep that in mind, God is light. And then he goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So evidently there were people within the church, within the sphere that John is addressing, who were saying, we have fellowship with God and it doesn't matter how we live. We can live any way we want. After all, every misdeed we do is in the body, in the flesh. And we know that flesh means nothing. It's only spirit that has any value. This was the old heresy of Gnosticism, which separated flesh from soul and spirit. And what you did with your body was irrelevant because the real kernel of your existence was your soul, your spirit. And John says, no. That's not the way it is at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Well, what does it mean to walk in the darkness? Well, perhaps it's easier to say, what does it mean to walk in the light? And to walk in the light, remember, light has been having a reference to both truth and moral purity. To walk in the light is to embrace the truth, to resist the lie, to believe all that God tells us in His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in all the way of God's commandments, to delight in His precepts, to find joy in obedience. In fact, it is to be conformed to Jesus Christ. He not only is the light of the world, the one who has come into the darkness, but He is the one who walked in the light. Throughout His earthly sojourn, at every stage along the way, He's the one who loved the truth and who loved to obey God. And so He becomes our example, the model. This is what it means to walk in the light. It is to embrace the truth and to obey God's commandments. You can see the contrast of this in what the Apostle Paul says about the pagans in Romans 1. It's very interesting that truth and holiness always coincide together, just like lies and wickedness run hand in hand. So remember what the Apostle Paul says about the pagans, about those who do not know God, at least those who do not confess God as their Savior and Lord. What does he say about them? And he says that they exchange the truth about God for a lie. So what happens when you embrace error? What happens when you give in to this father of lies, to Satan and all of his schemes? What happens when you exchange the truth for a lie? This is what happens. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So falsehood always leads to disobedience. And then Paul gives a list of debauchery, sexual immorality, homosexuality, disregard for parents and those in authority, that when you do not know God through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, then you cannot be good. You will always run in the ways of disobedience. You will walk in darkness rather than in the light. Now we need to be careful here because I don't want you to think that John is suggesting that Christians who walk in the light don't sin in any way. They do. John says that there in verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So walking in the light does not mean, at least it doesn't mean this side of glory, that we are never disobeying God. Sadly, we still continue to do that. But it does mean that the trajectory of my life, that the intention of my life, that the desire of my heart is to run in all the way of God's commandments, and more than that, that I do so with integrity, with a clear conscience, grieved by my sin, repentant when I fall short of God's glory, and eager to put sin to death in my life, and to display more and more the fruit of the Spirit in conformity with Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, or John is saying rather, that if you are walking in the darkness and at the same time claiming to have fellowship with God who is light, he says that you are lying and are not practicing the truth. Strong words. No one likes to be called a liar. Mostly, especially those who are liars. But why does John come out so strongly and say it this way? That if you claim to have fellowship with him while you walk in darkness, you're lying and do not practice the truth. It's because of this. Because it is actually impossible to walk in darkness and to have fellowship with God who is light. Light and darkness don't mix. Light dispels the darkness, or otherwise darkness overcomes the light. But if you are walking in darkness, then you cannot have fellowship with God, with the one whose eyes are too pure to behold evil, with the one with whom the wicked cannot dwell. It's impossible. Because those whom God converts and brings into union with Jesus Christ are those whom He also changes and transforms. So that it is an impossibility. All those who have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ will walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And so to claim otherwise is to argue against God's salvation design in Jesus Christ. But more than that, our conscience tells us that can happen. I mean, even we who are Christians and who walk in the light, but who on occasion, all too often, sin, we know that our sin separates us from God. We know that there is a divide between us and the Lord, that we cannot have fellowship with God until we deal honestly with our sin, until we repent from it and lament it and strive with all that is in us to rearrange our lives so that it would be pleasing to the Lord. The only people who think that they can have fellowship with God while living in sin are those for whom God is light. Not L-I-G-H-T, but L-I-T-E. That is a God who is less rigorous than the God of Scripture. A God who smiles at sin. A God who winks at our improprieties. You know, you can have salad dressing light. That's dressing that has taken all the fat and the sugars out of it. And some would say even the taste out of the original. Well, some have done that with God. They serve a God who is light, but not a God of light that the Scriptures speak of, but a lesser version, a less brilliant version of the holy God that Scripture proclaims. And it's so important for us, particularly in this day and age where we want God to coddle us and to approve all of our infelicities and sins, to have a God who is weighty, a God of glory and majesty, a God of holiness and purity, a God who hates evil and despises sin, a God who loves what is true and what is pure. if we walk in the darkness and say we have fellowship with the one who is light, we lie and do not practice the truth. A Christian is one who will walk in the light. And then in verse 7, the apostle gives us two realities that we can enjoy as believers who walk in the light. He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, first one, we have fellowship with one another. Now again, I find this a somewhat surprising turn of phrase. He's been speaking about the purity, the holiness of God. And you would think then that He would say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. But that's not what He says. He says, we have fellowship with one another. Again, the apostle horizontalizes the Christian faith. And he highlights the importance of walking in fellowship with other believers. That the Christian relationship is not just vertical between you and God, you and Jesus, and all by yourself, but it encompasses the horizontal, that we are members of one body. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So to turn it the other way around, if we do not walk in the light, we will not have fellowship with each other. Because sin doesn't only separate us from a holy God, but sin separates us from one another. I used to think about this when I was in Scotland. I think I had tennis elbow. I think that's what it was called. And I went to the physiotherapist for, you can guess, physiotherapy. And I always dreaded going there every time because I knew what she would ask me. Have you been doing your exercises? Occasionally, yes. Regularly, even if regularly meant once every 3 days. But it was the awareness that I hadn't done the exercises the way that I should have done the exercises that kept that meeting with my physiotherapist from being a joy. And that's the way it works as Christians, is living with one another. If you are not walking in the light, if you are not pursuing Christ with integrity, if you are not striving to be obedient to Him, you will find yourself distancing yourself from other believers, particularly from those believers whose conduct is intentional and above reproach. Because their light will show up your darkness. And if you do not want to confess your sin and put it away, it's easier to separate yourself from other believers. So John is very wise here. He says, if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship with one another. You will delight in each other's presence. You'll be refreshed by their example. You'll embrace the conviction that their godly life brings to your life. Because your heart's desire is to walk in holiness in the light as God is in the light. And of course, if we have fellowship with one another, then we also have fellowship with the Lord. Because we are what we are because of our union with Jesus Christ. And so our fellowship with other Christians is at one and the same time fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the first delight of walking in the light. Walking in integrity and with determination to please the Lord. We have fellowship with one another. And then notice what else he says. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, you might think that in order to have the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sin, you need to walk in the light. So that somehow you need to earn this mercy. But that's not the way to read it. We are saved by grace. But what he's saying is that if we are Christians, if we are walking in the light, though we stumble and fall, I want you to know this, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And this isn't just when you come to Christ at the beginning in faith upon His promises, but this is the reality of the totality of our life, that wherever sin is in the believer, grace abounds, and that God not only forgives us our sins for the sake of Christ, but He removes them, He blots them out so that they are trampled underfoot and thrown into the depths of the sea and no longer held against us. Isn't that just a wonderful truth? Because you know what John's thinking. I need to walk in the light. I am walking in the light. But I don't always walk in the light. I fail. I stumble. I fall. I disobey. Sometimes I even coddle sin and invite it in my life. Sometimes I persist in sin. And what I need to hear more than anything else is not that I need to be better than I am, but I need to hear that there is blood, that there is a cleansing, that there is a sacrifice for all of my sins, that Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity who was from the beginning and was with the Father, He has been made manifest. He has come to this earth. He has taken upon Himself my flesh and blood. And He has taken upon Himself my sins and has gone to the cross to die as a sacrifice in my place. That's what I need to hear. And this is exactly what John is saying. That you can have this confidence, this joy in Jesus' cleansing blood when you are walking in the light. And in fact, if you are not walking in integrity, if you are not constantly beating a path to the cross, repenting of your sin, then God will not give you the joy of knowing the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses you from all sin. Because that would be to encourage you in your obstinacy and disobedience. This joy in knowing of sins forgiven is for those who, however haltingly and waveringly, for those who are walking in the light, who are striving to please the God who in love has given His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And that's why when we come to the Lord's table, some of you have come this morning and tasted that the Lord is good. And some of you will come this evening and do the same. But we say when we come to the Lord's table that the Lord's table is for those who know their sin, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus for the cleansing of their sins, and who are striving to walk in obedience to Him. Because if you are not walking in obedience, then you are using the grace of God as a license to sin. And God does not wish to confirm you in that folly, in that lie. He wants you to repent and to return to Him, so that not only would your sins be forgiven, but so that you would know that your sins are forgiven for Jesus, His Son's sake. You know, it is actually a lie of Satan to tell you that God is anything but light. And you might think that that's to your benefit to have this pared down version of God. God who's easy, who just rolls with the punches, who's easygoing. But to have a God like that is actually to rob yourself of joy and blessing. Because if you have a God who's easy on sin, then you don't really need a Savior, do you? And if you don't have a Savior, then what joy you rob yourself of, because this is the greatest delight of the Christian, that God has had mercy upon me and has given me His gracious Son, Jesus Christ, His tender, loving Redeemer for my soul. Satan doesn't want you to believe that. So he'll give you lies. But our happiness as Christians is found in this: knowing who God is, that He is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Knowing our obligation to walk in the light, even as He is in the light. And knowing that when we fail, there is this cleansing in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray together. O Lord, our God, You are truth. And we pray that You would protect us from lies. You are pure, and we pray that You would cleanse us from our impurity, that You would enable us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to walk in the light, even as You are in the light, so that we might have fellowship with one another and with You, and that we might know the grand and glorious joy of redemption and cleansing through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for those who are weak in faith, who wonder if there can be any cleansing for their sin. We pray that You would draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might know that He cleanses us from all sin. We pray for those of us who are using Your grace as a license to sin, who have fallen for the deceits of our enemy. We pray that You would bring us back, restore us to the truth and to Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might know the privileges of our salvation. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Amen.